Brothers and sisters, in the last session, I explained that the reins God places on us are the reins of truth, the reins of love that give life and true freedom. When a person pulls on the reins of an animal, the animal feels pain and follows the owner's will. In the same way, when God's beloved children stray from His word and fall into sin, He sternly warns them through discipline and correction to lead them back. What sets us apart from animals is that we were created in God's image with a spirit, the rational ability to discern values. We can make right choices. Therefore, we should not use our God-given free will to chase after pleasures or worthless desires, but rather choose the truth with voluntary obedience. We should strive to cast off sins and achieve sanctification, not out of fear of God's discipline or out of obligation, but out of love for God and a sincere heart. Because we love the Father, we should strive to live by His word, diligently pray, and rejoice in worship. When we sow in Father God, we must not do it grudgingly or under compulsion, but with joy and thanksgiving. As we willingly do what we should do, avoid doing what we shouldn't do, keep what must be kept, and cast off what must be cast off, we can quickly grow in spirit and live a life full of answers and blessings. I pray in the name of the Lord that through today's message, each of you will be filled with the true freedom and peace in the truth. Continuing from the last session, God spoke through the example of wild animals. Chapter 39, verses 5 and 6 say, "Who sent the wild donkey out free? And who opened the bonds of the swift donkey? To whom I gave the wilderness as his home and the salt land as his dwelling place." In other words, God was saying, "Job, do you know who gave freedom to the wild donkey and released the bonds of the swift donkey to roam freely? It was I who gave them freedom, made the wilderness their home, and assigned the salt land as their dwelling." Some animals like lions or wolves live in groups even after they mature, while others like wild donkeys live alone. When a wild donkey grows enough to find food and survive on its own, it naturally leaves its mother and becomes independent. Some animals stay under parental care longer, while others quickly become independent and live freely. God was saying that all living things live under His sovereign laws, and even the freedom animals have is permitted by Him. Through this example, God intended for Job to understand that true freedom comes through obedience in the truth. Literally, God showed up in set words. He said that He talked about the heavens and rain and clouds and the aerial phenomena. And now He's talking about animals. Literally, God asked who made them, who are governing them. But each of His words and each of the example He was talking about, and God was giving Job awakening. Literally, God just talked about animals, and people know that, but deep in that, but each of His words has a lesson to Job. And the lesson from today's message is, where is the true freedom from? How can we enjoy true freedom? This is what today's message talks about. He also revealed that just as He gave freedom to animals like wild donkeys, it was by His providence that human beings were given free will. When He created the first man, Adam, He gave him free will. God blessed Adam to live as the Lord of all creation in the bountiful Garden of Eden and allowed him to eat freely from every tree except the tree of the knowledge. He said, "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for on the day that you eat from it, you will certainly die." Yet, using his free will, man acted like an unbridled colt and ultimately turned away from God. God clearly warned about this and taught what consequences disobedience would bring. However, God is not forceful or a dictator, so He did not forcibly interfere with man's choice. Rather than compelling people to obey under pressure, He desired that they follow the truth through the freedom of their own choice. Of course, God knew that man would eat from the tree of the knowledge. Still, He placed it there, which was part of His deep and loving providence for the human cultivation. Only after Adam and Eve sinned and were driven out of the Garden of Eden did they finally experience relativity. They began to realize what true love, joy, and gratitude were, and love and fear God from the depth of their hearts. In the Garden of Eden, they had incomparable joy and peace and rest, and they lived in safety. But they didn't know true gratitude, and they were not able to share true love with God. Because they didn't experience the opposite of those things, the dinosaurs in the Friday night service, and the dinosaur approached the tree of the knowledge, and God knew everything in advance, and God expelled them down to the earth, and after that, they faced destruction. God could have prevented it from happening, but God allowed it to happen because God wanted to give a lesson to Adam through that incident. God wanted to let Adam realize that what kind of result he would face through disobedience. Even though God warned that he would die, Adam didn't know what death is. And after he was expelled to this earth, I mean, when Adam saw the incident of dinosaurs being expelled to the earth, Adam should have kept that deep in his heart, but he failed to keep it deep in his heart. God knew everything in advance, but He allowed it to happen because when Adam came down to this earth, he would realize God's intention, and Adam repented, and God understood God's heart deeply. This is the truth. God knew this would happen. That's why He they began to realize what true love, joy, and gratitude were, and love and fear God from the depths of their hearts. Therefore, we must understand that even placing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and allowing the process of the human cultivation were also God's love. When a man and a woman have children, they feel great joy, but also a heavy responsibility. To raise their children to adulthood, parents must endure a lot of hard work and sacrifice. And to raise them well, parents sometimes make them do difficult things. Even if, even if a child says, I don't want to study, I want to play, the parents still send them to school. Little kids want to rest. Little kids want to hang out. And especially those young children who have to go to the kindergarten. On the first day they go to the kindergarten, they mostly cry. But to raise their social ability and to learn many things, parents still send their young kids to kindergarten, even though they don't like to go to the kindergarten. Actually, parents themselves are also heartbroken, but they still send them to kindergarten because they love them. Because parents love their children, they make them study hard so they can grow into admirable individuals. From the child's perspective, this time can feel difficult and tiring. However, when they succeed through perseverance, who do they thank first? Little kids. And as they, even little kids, they have to do what they don't like to do, and they have to endure and persevere. And they finally, when they finally succeed, who they thank first? We often see them tearfully expressing gratitude to their parents who devotedly supported them and to the teachers who guided them well. As after they have success, after they grow up, they realize that the parents and teachers were not bothering them, but they were training them to be better and successful. And when they, especially students, when they are studying hard to prepare for college, their parents and their family members are also become, as kids grow up, they understand the heart of their parents, and they become, when they become successful, and they, when they think about the hard times, they realize that they were not alone, but they, their parents and their teachers were supporting them. And parents, even though their kids don't understand their heart, they wait and endure. It's the human cultivation is the same. Father God already knew that people would face pain, sorrow, trials, and hardship during this process. Nevertheless, He allowed it because through the process, His children would be born. At times, we may find the process difficult, but if we overcome it with faith, goodness, and truth, it will surely result in glorious fruit. We will not only enjoy true freedom in the truth on this earth, but also enjoy true happiness in everlasting heaven. This is the very purpose of the human cultivation and the reason that the tree of the knowledge was necessary. Brothers and sisters, we must understand what true freedom is. An animal loved by its owner is safest and most comfortable when it remains under their care. For example, a pet dog near its owner doesn't have to worry about food and remains protected. But once it strays from the owner's hand, it may get into an accident or even be stolen and sold. Thus, even if a dog is kept on a leash by its owner, it is true freedom for the dog to remain under their protection. In the same way, we have to understand that being bound to the truth is not a restriction, but rather true freedom and happiness. You may complain, why does God tell us to do this, not to do that, keep this? It's because we are harboring what is harmful, and we are doing what God, that's why God tells us to throw away and not to do that. But you may complain, why is God giving us restrictions and God tells us not to hate? God tells us, think about this. What God tells us not to do? What are good things? Hatred? Is hatred a good thing? Quarrel, argument, judgment, condemnation, are they a good thing? What God tells us not to do, they're all bad things. He tells us to cast off evil and sins, and envy and jealousy, which are all of which are harmful to us. That's why God tells us to throw them away, because they are harmful, they are evil. That's why He tells us to do so. But why some people disobey and complain that God is telling us to do this and that? God is actually, well, the problem is their disobedience. As 1 John chapter 5 verse 18 writes, we know that no one who has been born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. When we live in the truth, the enemy, devil, and Satan cannot touch us. We are protected from all diseases and accidents. Most of all, we are on the path to everlasting heaven. When we dwell in the truth, we are protected and we are kept safe. We are in the boundary. This is the blessing which comes when we are in the boundary of God. Even if we call on God, once we go out of their boundary, God of His boundary, the enemy devil does not leave us alone. They try to overpower us and they try to turn us into their slave. So that's why we have this keep in the God's words are not something that bother us. God is not giving us misfortune, misery. Just as keeping the law in the world means you are not punished by it, keeping God's word means we are not subject to the penalties of the spiritual law. For example, those who cast off hatred, envy, and jealousy and love their neighbors will not clash with anyone, no matter the situation. By being at peace with everyone, they will enjoy true peace and happiness. We are also set free from trials, tribulations, and judgment that come as a result of breaking the laws of the spiritual realm. This is a life of freedom in the truth. Once you leave God's bosom, the enemy devil takes over and he says, you are my children. We will be happy if we belong to the enemy devil. Some people sell their souls or spirit to the enemy devil. In our history also, there were people who sold their spirit, worshiped the Satan. At first, it feels like their problems are gone. And some people also curse another person. But in the end, they end up in death. Those who sell their spirit end up in death. They never end up with a good outcome. It may feel like their troubles are gone. Like when people who try exorcism, it feels like their diseases, their problems are temporarily gone, and they may misunderstand that the enemy devil also controls. And it's not that. It repeats. The troubles are not gone. The troubles repeatedly come. So they are bound to worship the enemy devil again and again. But what about our Father God? When we unceasingly serve Him, God prevents all troubles from happening, and God leads us to live only in peace and joy. This is true love. If you have to discern these things, you have to know which is wiser way. You have to do things out of our free will, not out of will. To enjoy true freedom like this, we must completely cast off untruth of the heart. When untruth remains in the heart, one cannot enjoy true freedom. They must constantly examine themselves to see whether they have gone against God's word. And before taking any action, they feel the need to question whether it is a sin or not. Sometimes you may feel like if you are double-minded, if you have two kinds of heart, you want to choose the untruth, but your heart of truth commands. The truth is guiding us to. Once we choose the truth, we are free from sins, we are free from tests and tribulations, and we. But if we disobey, if we. So that's why we feel troubled, we feel agonized, rather than having true freedom. That's why we have to diligently circumcise our heart. Once we fill our heart with the truth, we don't have to question every little thing. And we naturally live in the truth, so we feel true freedom. Even though we may not understand God's will perfectly, we. When two kinds of heart fight inside us, struggle, we may feel difficult, especially, but as we circumcise our heart and our heart of truth grows, we have more peace and joy. And as we repent and God gives us a true peace and joy, so ultimately we can live in. We have. Thus, the following passage say, He scorns the turmoil of the city, the shoutings of the driver he does not hear. He explores the mountains for his pasture and searches after every green thing. The wild donkey scorns the turmoil of the city means that from the donkey's perspective, the noise and chatter of the city crowds are meaningless. If someone played music for a donkey, would it understand? And the donkey, wild donkey, were not raised by men. They just they have wandered around in the wilderness. Even if you taught it some profound truth, would it pay attention? Such things are of no benefit or meaning to the donkey. They are nothing but noise. The word drive in this context means to control or lead animals like oxen or horses. So when the verse says, he does not hear the shouts of the driver, it means that no one can tame or control the wild donkey. Why did God speak these words to Job? It was to help Job realize that he was like the wild donkey. Job's friends fasted for him and offered various words of advice. Among the words of Job's friends were many that were true. But just as a wild donkey ignores the noise from the city, Job paid no heed to their words at all. His friends sometimes quoted God's word and tried earnestly to awaken him. But because Job believed that he alone was right, all their words sounded meaningless to him. God helped Job realize that such an attitude was like that of a wild donkey. So, how embarrassed Job must have felt before God as he repented. Of course, they didn't teach Job with God's word because they were better than him. Even around you, you may see people who don't live in the truth but teach and advise others using God's word. In the Bible, we find that when Prophet Balaam failed to understand God's will, God opened the mouth of a donkey to give him awakening. This way, God uses people around us or various means to reveal His will. Yet, if we keep insisting that we are right and only follow our stubborn will, then we are no different from a wild donkey. Today's passage describes this as follows. The wild donkey does not hear the shouts of the driver and only roams in search of green pastures. A domesticated donkey can be controlled with a bridle, but a wild donkey is not easily tamed. Even if a herdsman says, "Come on, obey me," it pays no attention and instead roams freely in search of a green pasture. This is a metaphor for Job, who was only pursuing his benefits. In other words, God was pointing out that Job despised his friend's words, insisted that only he was right, and eagerly pursued his own benefit. Brothers and sisters, when you share the words of life with others, some may treat it as empty talk and look down on you. God says that such people are just like wild donkeys, but we should reflect on whether we've also shown such attitudes ourselves. Even if we give someone advice and that person, we have to apply the message to ourselves. If we do not cherish God's word, let it go in one ear and out the other. Insisted that only we are right, argue, or look down on others, we must realize that this too is the attitude of a wild donkey. And when someone offers you a word of advice based on God's word, don't dismiss them thinking, "He's teaching others," even though he doesn't live by the word himself. Instead, humbly accept any words if they are the truth, no matter who speaks them. After speaking of the wild donkey, God now brought up the wild ox as an example. He asked in chapter 39, verse 9, Will the wild bull be willing to serve you, or will he spend the night at your manger? In other words, God was asking, "Job, can you treat a wild ox like a domestic one in your barn? Like the wild donkey, the wild ox also lives in the wild. A domesticated ox stays in the barn and obeys its master, but a wild ox will neither stay in the barn nor submit to human control." God was pointing out that Job had been acting like this wild ox. Namely, Job had been running wild like a wild ox, refusing to stay where God wanted him to be. Through this example, Job began to understand God's will and discover himself. He realized, "I should have been bound by the belt of truth in God, but I behaved recklessly and lived in indulgence. This is also a reminder to us. If we do not submit to the truth, but insist only on what we think is right, then we are no different from a wild ox that runs here and there. Those who truly love God and have hope for heaven willingly bind themselves to the truth and joyfully obey. As a result, their lives are always filled with joy, gratitude, and praise. But as much as one breaks free from the reins of truth and disobeys God's word, they build a wall of sin before God, thereby falling into trials and tribulations. In the following verse, God asked, "Can you bind a wild ox in a furrow with ropes?" We have to know whether we are just acting just like the wild ox, whether we are pointing out others to, whether we are attacking or hurting others, whether we are complaining and grumbling. And when one side is silent, even when the other is wild and violent like a wild ox, the fight does not occur. But so when a fight occurs, that means two sides are like in your relationship with your friends, in your workplace. Also, that should never happen in the God's kingdom. We have to reflect on whether we have been acting like the wild ox. We have to shatter our frameworks and self-righteousness. In the following verse, God asked, "Can you bind a wild ox in a furrow with ropes, or will he plow the valleys after you?" Years ago, in the countryside, before rice planting, people would attach a tool called a harrow to an ox to use it to break up clumps of soil and level the field. So they have to level the field before planting. Before rice planting, people would attach a tool called a harrow to an ox and use it to break up clumps of soil and level the field. As you see on the screen, a domesticated ox can be forced to wear a yoke, plow the fields, or pull a harrow under human control. But a wild ox raised in the wilderness, nowadays we have tractors on the farm, but decades ago people used oxen. Oxen served to be an important asset. Without an ox, they had to work so hard manually. That's why they... But what about the wild ox? Would that... If we... It doesn't work with a wild ox. I'm talking... The wild ox, they are... have rough character, and so it's difficult to have but a wild ox likewise, God had placed a yoke on Job and tried to lead him directly in order to bless him, but Job was not obeying joyfully but grumbling and complaining. God was reminding him of this fact. God was saying, "Job, I want to guide you in due time to give you what is good. But why are you running here and there like a wild ox in disobedience?" Just as an ox cannot plow a field or pull a harrow if it doesn't obey, if a person doesn't obey God's word, God cannot guide them. They cannot receive the blessings He has prepared. When Job heard these words, he was deeply shocked and enlightened and couldn't help but fall to his knees. Therefore, we shouldn't obey only when God's word agrees with our thoughts, and disobey when it doesn't. We have to obey all His words with a heart of yes and amen in order to remain in Him. May you also take upon yourself the yoke of God's word, cultivate your heart filled, and bear abundant fruits. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30, Jesus told us to take His yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light. And oxen have their But to make your oxen work on your field, this process is necessary. But what about us? You may wonder that we can receive blessings without having a yoke. But because we have those untruths in our heart, so we have to learn from. And if the shepherd hadn't received such words, such revelations, we wouldn't understand it. But God talked about the wild ox to compare it to give Job awakening. God tells us to take the yoke, our Lord's yoke, cultivate our heart filled, and bear abundant fruits. Even through the trials, God was giving Job awakening, and so God was not able to. The same can be applied to us. We have to know whether we have been acting like wild ox or we have been obedient. And we have to obey what He tells us to do, and we shouldn't think that His yokes are making us hard, but we have to understand that God wants us to bless us. He was urging us to cultivate our heart fields with His words of truth, a call to obey God's word, cast off sin, and sow goodness and love, and bear beautiful fruits of light. Brothers and sisters, may you joyfully take up the yoke of truth that God has placed on you, be transformed, and bring forth abundant fruits. God continued questioning Job using the wild ox as an example. Chapter 39, verse 11 reads, "Will you have faith in him because his strength is great and leave your labor to him?" In other words, God was asking, "Job, just because the wild ox is strong, can you make it work for you?" And we have cow in Korea. They're so different from the wild ox we've seen on the screen. Wild ox are stronger and they are bigger in size. Would it be possible for you to have a wild ox in your home and make them work? But this means that the wild ox is not a creature Job could make use of.
Job
In the same way, we must understand that God does not entrust His work merely because someone has great knowledge, wisdom, and/or experience. You may think that person has great knowledge and great experience, so he must be used for precious purposes by God. But that might not be the case. The ability to carry out God's work does not come from worldly knowledge, physical talent, or material wealth. The Bible says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So, we can fulfill God's work through His wisdom and power. As for men of flesh, they are likely to ruin the work by involving fleshly thoughts. As long as we have flesh, we may end up going west when God tells us to go east, heading towards the world instead of heaven, and pursuing darkness instead of light. Then, who would God entrust His work to? Above all, it's the one who obeys. Rather than the wisdom, talent, physical talent, or in our eyes, they may look precious, and they may look like they are worthy to carry out God-given duties, but God is throughout the Bible, we see those fathers of faith chosen by God for each generation. Moses delivered Israel from Egypt through God's power, and Joshua made the sun and the moon stand still and conquer Canaan by faith. The Apostle Paul and Peter healed diseases and infirmities in the name of the Lord and preached the gospel to countless people. But one thing the people of God had in common was that they always responded to God's word with yes and amen. Through trials in their lives, they emptied themselves and were transformed into people of perfect obedience when God could be. The kind of obedience that God acknowledges is obeying even what it seems impossible. To reach this level of obedience, we need to shatter all our theories, fleshly thoughts, and frameworks completely. When you think about the fleshly thoughts, you may like self-centered thoughts. If you love yourself, if you try to protect yourself, and as much as you have evil, you disobey God. When we are filled with the Spirit, we if we have ourselves, when something is against our benefit, we don't like it, and we act in evil. During the trials, we see that it may look like it's not beneficial if we obey, but if you obedient people don't care. They don't calculate what kind of disadvantage they will suffer. Whenever something is God's will, they just say yes. And we have to know how obedient you have been. Whether you are a person who is worthy to be used. The reason that people fail to obey God's word is that they act based on their own thoughts, emotions, and calculations. Those who weigh things this way give reasons and excuses like, because this is possible, because that is impossible. If something benefits them, they obey. But if it doesn't, they refuse. However, a person who is ready to obey only doesn't obey. For example, Abraham obeyed everything by faith alone, so he was able to show the deed of offering even his own son Isaac as a burnt offering. As a result, he received every blessing, blessings of children, health, and long life. On top of that, he became our father of faith, a friend of God, and the source of blessing, receiving truly remarkable blessings. Brothers and sisters, may you break every theory and thought that is not of the truth. Please God, by obeying His word, receive blessings and glorify Him. Then God continued in Job chapter 39 verse 12, "Will you have him bring your grain and gather it from your threshing floor?" He meant that a wild ox, which roams freely in the wilderness, would never bring in your harvest for you, nor could you make it gather it for you. This spiritually signifies that God cannot entrust His work to someone who, like a wild ox, does not obey. As I'm running this church, I see many good and obedient workers, but regrettably, some people also complain. They say that if I'm given an opportunity, I am better. I have experience. But why am I not being chosen? Why am I not used? They show such complaints and I receive such reports. But as I told you, they have to examine whether they have been obedient, whether they have we have to empty yourself to be used by God, and then we can become united as one and give glory to God, and you can naturally become precious ones and grow into precious workers. But if people try to exalt themselves, they cannot. Some people complain that they are not being used, but we also have to examine ourselves. People who do as they please, people who act like a wild ox, and so since they don't obey when something seems impossible from their perspective, God's work of creating something from nothing can't be manifested. If a person dislikes difficult and challenging tasks, complains, grumbles, and disobeys, how could God possibly entrust something to him? Job came to realize why God was saying this to him. We must also understand that if we cling to our own theories, experiences, pride, or emotions without breaking our fleshly thoughts, God cannot entrust us with His work. And even if He does, He won't be able to fulfill it. If we rely on God who creates something from nothing, He will surely work for us. If we try to do everything on our own, it will feel heavy and difficult. But when we trust and committed to God, the Almighty will accomplish the work in His own perfect way. He said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 12, If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, "If you can, all things are possible for him who believes." Once we entrust things to God, such things happen. But the important thing is, only as long as we are in His bosom. So some people try to remove the yoke, remove the, they don't like to have it on them. They just want to live as they please. Then they cannot experience God's, they cannot have experiences, spiritual experiences. If an ox could obey without the seed, without the need for a ring in its nose, it would receive its master's love, protection, and provision. But because the ox refuses to obey, it must have a ring put in its nose and be beaten. It's the same with our, it's the same with us. As our faith grows through trials and we gain true freedom in the truth, we are no longer dragged along reluctantly, but obey with joy and thanksgiving. Though the path of faith may seem narrow and difficult at first, once we understand the truth, we realize that it is a way of life and blessing that leads to heaven. So let us not act according to our own thoughts, and but trust in God, only follow His work, and enjoy true freedom in the truth. Let me conclude the message. Freedom is the right to choose and decide one's life. But it also comes with responsibility. In contrast, indulgence is freedom without responsibility. For example, speeding through red lights, even if, I mean, true freedom shines within discipline and responsibility. The true freedom we give, the true freedom we enjoy in the truth is also a privilege granted to those who keep and obey God's word. God is always seeking people of faith who can obey. Anyone who responds to God with a sincere yes and amen can be used as a precious vessel for His glory. But the Bible says, my eyes will be on the faithful of the land so that they may dwell with me. One who walks with a blameless way is one who will serve me. Therefore, I pray in our Lord's name that you will fully obey in the truth, become a glorious instrument of God's work, and receive blessing of drawing near His throne in New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.